0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge weekend across Scottish football. There was a share of the spoils between Hearts and 10-man Celtic in an action-packed encounter at Tynecastle. That means Rangers were the big winners in the title race on the day, a 3-0 victory against Dundee, moving them above Celtic, cutting Hearts' gap, and now they set their sights on a new striker. And there were big wins for the likes of Motherwell, Falkirk and Aberdeen, with plenty more talking points in between. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
Gordon, the number of Saturdays in this show I'm sitting in a freezing cold football stadium talking back to you in this studio and it's 0-0 or it's 1-0 and it's rubbish. I take one Saturday off in the middle of the season. There's 8 goals at Pittodrie. There's 5 goals at Falkirk. Your boys hit 4 at Firth Park. There's 4 at Tynecastle on the Sunday. And Rangers hit 3 on it. You know what's going to happen this weekend, don't you? We'll be back to 0-0.
Yeah, 17 goals on the Saturday card. And yesterday, quite a comfortable win in the end for Rangers. I thought 3 did flatter them, don't get me wrong. But then, what a game in terms of entertainment we've seen at Tynecastle. Not so much with quality, we can drip feed certainly some drama within that as well. I've set out my stall a long time ago that I think Hearts will win the league. We've yet to get who Roger does, but Celtic and Rangers have 7 days to change my mind.
This weekend had to be big, no matter what happened, because we've got at least a three-horse title race, and because two of them are playing each other, there was no outcome that wasn't going to be big. It was guaranteed, it was locked in. So now that you've seen it all, give us your thoughts. Obviously you know what happened yesterday, you don't need me to tell you. Hearts 2, Celtic 2. Celtic with Austin Trusty's red card, a decision they are appealing, they've announced this afternoon. Rangers winning at home, meaning that it's the 8th consecutive win for them. So where are we now then? Hearts are still top, obviously, but their gap has been cut, and it's not been cut by Celtic, it has been cut by Rangers, who go above Celtic into second. So give us all your thoughts on the title race, how you're feeling, if you still think your team is in the driving seat or not, how decisive a weekend do you think it was? Give us your thoughts there, please. 0141 951 1025. And then of course within that, big talking points within the games. We mentioned Austin Trusty, we mentioned good performances, bad performances. We want to do it all. That's the beauty of a Monday night. We try and do as much of it as possible. And if you think there's something we've not mentioned, phone us and tell us. 0141 951 1025. These two are going to put you right in the mood with their result of the weekend. First of all,
well, I'm going to go for Motherwell. I don't know how many times I've went them this season, but I'm going for them again tonight. I think it was a game where you could say that Motherwell were favourites going into it, but I feel as if that's been missing, that one statement 4-goal victory. You know, everyone talks about the amount of control that Motherwell have in games, the amount of chances they create, but can they go and put a team to the sword over the course of 90 minutes? And I thought they did that the weekend.
I need to go Falkirk.
Oh, brilliant.
4-1 against them. Pardon me, Gordon, they just keep going and going and going and getting better and better. One weekend they knock Hearts out of the Scottish Cup at Tynecastle, and then they put 4 past Hibs on Saturday afternoon. A fantastic performance, and you know, John McGlynn can't get enough plaudits on me.
Okay, goal of the weekend. You had some good choices.
We did. I'm going to go for Jeddy Gassama. Jeddy Gassama played the best part of 89 minutes at Pittodrie on the right hand side. He goes over on the left hand side for 1 minute, wins his team a penalty. He comes on for Scott Olsen on the right hand side after 60 minutes. Didn't get involved all that much. Goes over to the left hand side for less than 5 minutes, scores a goal. I think this experiment of Jeddy Gassama playing on the right hand side, for me, shouldn't take place any longer. I think his level of productivity is so much higher on the left.
I'll go for your pal, JT, Tawanda Maswanisi. Lovely finish. Again, you know, people talk about quality of Motherwell. The quality of Motherwell's goals the weekend was up there. You could have gone with Elijah just the first goal, but I thought it was a lovely finish by Maswanisi across the goalie just after Tom Lowry had been sent off, and that really finished the game.
Where does that leave us?
Performance, Howler.
Let's go Howler. We always go Howler next, don't we? Let's do it.
I feel sorry going for a Scotland internationalist that's got a big summer ahead of him. I'm going to go for Grant Hanley. I think it's a fairly routine ball in for someone that has quality to deal with. doesn't get the doesn't judge the bounce, catches I think just under his shin, flies into the bottom corner to give Falkirk, I think it was a fourth goal in the end.
I think it all just adds to the story. Just imagine that performance at Fir Park where he gets sent off, the own goal against Falkirk, and then it cuts to him lifting the World Cup in America.
Might
in the
make
summer.
It all worth
I
it.
Think that's fine. Well, a bit of pain before the game. Who was your howler, Roger Hannah?
I spoke to Stephen Presley, the Dundee manager, a few weeks ago, and he said he had a young team and that were learning. Joe Bevan will need to learn from his mistake at Ibrox. 1-0, 91 minutes. Dundee are still in the game. They're still in the game.
They were.
At that stage. They're on the ball, and inexplicably, the substitute plays a ball where you shouldn't be playing it, in the field. Up go Rangers. Danilo 2-0, game over.
Okay, top man of the weekend. Top performer goes to...
Easy one for me, given I get the honour to go first. I'm going to go back to Falkirk, and I'm going to go for Barney Stewart. I think the story of Falkirk, the story of John McGlynn, the story of their players, where the club's been over the last 15 years or so, I think it's all remarkable, and the amount of subplots within it makes it even more impressive, but none more so than Barney Stewart for me. Less than 16 months ago was plying his trade at Heriot Watt University. 16 months later he's scoring a hat-trick in the top flight of the SPL. He gets his first goal in top flight football inside 15 minutes. And by the end of 90 minutes, he's got the match ball to take home with him. So, fantastic story and thoroughly deserving my performer of the weekend.
Well, you go the man that got the hat-trick. I'll go the man who maybe, nearly, probably should have had the hat-trick. Kevin Nisbet gets two for Aberdeen. And the third one's given. There's then a VAR check. The lines don't work. The ref has another look. Isn't convinced that he got it right the first time. And reverses his decision. So, Kevin doesn't get a hat-trick. And it's the first controversial with Andy... for next month's Willie show.
The first?
The less said about that, the better. 01419511025 is the number you need. Let's dive in. John was first through. What did you make of yesterday, John?
Shocking, absolutely shocking for Celtic. They were going there yesterday to try and cut a gap to 3 points. They couldn't pass a ball. Either was the biggest culprit. They couldn't pass a ball. Kept getting free kicks away. If I was a manager and they kept getting free kicks away, who gave it away, defining them. Because every time the ball goes into the box, I'm putting my hands in front of my eyes and saying there's going to be a goal here. As I said, my either was the biggest goal, but Ingles never kicked the ball. There's a post of a team coming from the Bundesliga. I would drive him to the airport this morning, get £11 million back. I don't even think you're going to get that. The two goals put me in mind of in the Champions League and Europa League. Back post once again, turn it and scale, jumping, the boy jumps in between the two of them, scores the goal. The second goal was the same again, Yang, and who was Ralston? Scottish international, as far as I'm concerned, that guy's finished. But once again, it's a catch-up time. As I say, we got 8 minutes added on yesterday. We would have went to about 10, maybe about 12 minutes. Celtic would have come out of that game and not getting a point. As I say, we're going for an SPL championship here between Rangers and Hearts. And we just need to get, I don't know, but they're going to be. But as I say, just once again, yesterday, very, very... Upset with my team yesterday, mate. That's my point
tonight. There's lots of big picture comments to come, I'm sure, about where it leaves each team and so on. And
yeah,
talk to us about the actual football game. Then John's main concern was the performance. Thought it was poor from
Celtic.
Yeah,
and the one thing you would notice yesterday, John, I'm sure you'll agree because you've mentioned some of them. One of the problems Celtic have is guys who have been previously big hitters, guys you could rely upon in the past, Dyson Maeda. Rio Hatate, who was dropped to the bench after being sent off in midweek. Arnie Ingles, you touch on again as well. Kieran Tierney again was lost to an injury in the second half. But there are some of the guys who have got Celtic over the finishing line in the past are not playing anything like the way they did in the past. And that would be a concern for me getting into the second half of the season.
What did you make of it as a football game, Andy, before we get to the other stuff?
A brilliant watch, but not so much in terms of quality. I just thought through tempo, enthusiasm, the feeling of a big game that I thought it had within the first minute. But I thought the quality from both teams in parts, but for me, from Celtic, for large spells of the game was certainly lacking. I can't remember a team... a Celtic's quality having that little of control in a game of football. I thought for honestly next to no point in that game was Celtic ever in control of the match. And for me, given the injury issues that we knew Hearts had going into the game, given I don't actually think that Hearts were particularly the best I've seen them this season, I was really shocked with Celtic's performance.
What does it do to the title race, John? Celtic still in it. Didn't change their gap to Hearts, of course.
There's still a lot of football to play. You've still got to play Rangers, right? It's aye, but you've got to play Hearts. As I say, but when they get checked out for the window shots, because we're just not, I just don't know. Mind there was 30 goals last season, scoring about £21 million. You'd be lucky if you get 10 from him this year. Hatate's when half a boy was. I'm never half a shadow. He can't get a game for the Japanese national team. I keep repeating myself. The guy's young. The team's full of guys that's finished, as far as I'm concerned. But we need to get a couple of signings in. We need signings, but once again, the board maybe decent and go, like, no, we're not going to get any more money.
Are you confident that will happen?
Yeah, I think it will happen. It's going to happen. They've got to take a gamble. Because, as I say, if Rangers or Hearts won the league this year, and they get a Champions League, it's £60 million. It's the Celtic board like the green box, as I call it. The green box, I like the money. So it's a gamble. And I think they should take a gamble.
What have you mean, John? I like that.
I was going to ask you on the two signings so far, because they both started yesterday. Arroyo at right back, and if I can pronounce it correctly, Kankara through the middle. Is that the level of signing that Celtic need to win a title fight?
Well, they need more than that, mate. I thought a big boy was, I thought he started off quite slow. Never get much of a ball, but don't get me wrong, the goal he made was a good goal, but as I say, I just don't know. Once again, I just don't know what's happening at Parkhead. They're not the terrors, mate. They've been doing it for years now. They're not the terrors. That's what they're doing.
How big a outcome was it? Maybe you have to put Rangers into this conversation to analyse that bit of it, but for the title race yesterday, I said it at the top, it had to be a big day because there was no outcome that... Mm-hmm. You know, that didn't have big consequences. So what did you make of it? Nothing changed between Celtic and Hearts, I guess.
No, nothing changed. But I mean, as you guys can attest, I've fancied Hearts in these games pretty much all season long. I thought going into the game yesterday, I made Celtic big favourites. I thought, given the fact that, you know, Hearts play with that midfield too, and the reason I think they're able to do so is because the legs and energy of Benny Beningame and Cammy Devlin. I thought minus day two yesterday, and then the best striker in the league and Lawrence Shankland up front, I thought Celtic would go in and win the game. So there was an element of shock that they never managed to do so. And it's quite funny because Hearts' lead at the top of the tables went from 6 points to 4. But I'd actually make an argument that makes their case that they can go and win the league even stronger. The fact that they've managed to play the way they did against Celtic for last spells of the game, for me, deserve to win the game, albeit they never, without the three players that we've just mentioned there. Now, I've said that I think, to change that narrative for me, I think Rangers and Celtic need to be busy over the next 7 days. But what does that say for Hearts? What are they going to do? I think by all accounts, it seems as if they're trying to fast-track the is it Rodrigo Mato from...
Rodgers Mato.
I think they've tried to fast-track him to get him in the door for this week. And Derek McInnes said potentially one more.
Fixtures are interesting as well, Andy, because they play at Tannadice on Saturday night before Rangers and Celtic play. They then play at St Mirren on Tuesday night next week, a night before Rangers and Celtic play. So they've got it in their hands, if they can win those games, really to pile the pressure on Rangers and Celtic at the top.
Did yesterday alter the title race for you?
No. The one thing I was interested in, I thought it was going to be a big day for Rangers. Whatever happened at Tynecastle, any of the three results, Rangers had to go and do their business.
They were guaranteed to gain on somebody then, no matter what happened.
Hearts and Celtic couldn't both win the game, Gordon. So you wonder, you know, it's almost the perfect afternoon for Danny Rowell. But again, there was a bit of huffing and puffing by Rangers before they got over the line. That mistake we mentioned by Joe Bevan, for Danilo to score 91 minutes, your goal for Gesama 93 minutes to clinch it. But it was a big day for Rangers.
Thank you, John. He thought the Celtic performance was abysmal. What about Scott and Cambus Lang?
All right, Gordon, how you doing, sir? All right?
Not bad. What did you think about it?
Listen, I'm kind of calmed in now, but I wasn't last night. But kind of John took the kind of thunder away for us, and also the guys as well. You know, the three players we were out for Hearts yesterday, that would give the biggest of centre for Celtic midfield to really dominate that game yesterday. Engels, see you later. I'll drive you to the airport, mate. See you later. Right? He wasn't interested yesterday whatsoever. He loses the ball, he gives fouls away, right? He's not interested. He doesn't want to be there. Okay, it's just no him. A lot of the players didn't play great yesterday. But Callum McGregor can't date himself, right? He can't run the whole show and take digs and whatever else himself. You know, I just think he shouldn't be there whatsoever at all. Big chance yesterday, as I said, the three guys, all you have said. Two big midfielders out for Hearts yesterday. That was Celtic's time yesterday to put a stamp on it and control the game yesterday, which they didn't. Secondly, never a red card. Never in a million lifetimes was that a red card. He was going to the corner flag. Trusty was pushing him out there towards the end. He had scales coming up behind him. You know, yellow card, yes, that's fine. Get it. We were 2-1 up at that point. I'm not saying we would have won the game, but with all the men on the field, we probably would have got a bigger chance, a percentage of winning that. But that's my 2 points. But the biggest one is Engels. See you later, mate. Bye. You know, sorry.
No, I don't apologise to me. Listen, you said that was you calm down, Scott. I wouldn't have liked to have heard you last night.
Mate, no, you wouldn't have
learned
it.
Listen,
they can't really get put under
the hoist. I can't condone that. Last time this happened, I'm sure I had sort of animal charities breathing down my neck. So please take that back.
Well,
I know you wouldn't. Yep, great. Oh, honestly, this show, you never quite know.
What's the cat called?
No. You're not getting away with that. Let's not trivialise this. Let's ask Scott to apologise, which he has.
The cat might have been called Brendan or Wilfred or Martin. It's an interesting question.
Anyway, the point that's got me about Arne Engels, and this word control, Andy, would this be, is that one of the most concerning things for Celtic fans about the performance levels at the moment? Because even good Celtic teams, they don't win every game. We've seen it loads of, but what you usually see, what a poor Celtic performance usually looks like, is loads of possession, loads of territory, can't quite find that cutting edge. Teams make it hard for you. But if you look at yesterday, you look at even Falkirk away last midweek, that control doesn't seem to be there all the time at the moment.
So just to come back to your point there in terms of what it can look like is Tynecastle at the start of the season or Celtic Park 2 months ago. That can happen where Celtic have loads of territory, loads of possession, but they just can't break the door down. And by the way,
so Celtic were better in the two games that they lost against Hearts than they were yesterday?
For me, undoubtedly. Take away result, because obviously they managed to get a point yesterday, yet they never at the start of the season at Tynecastle. But Celtic, for me, have always domestically, in any game of football, have always had large spells of dominance. And if they don't have large spells of dominance, they certainly have periods. I didn't think for at any point in the game yesterday Celtic were in control. I never thought that at any point in the game, even when they went 1-0 up or 2-1 up, that they were going to go and win the game. And for me, I thought that was really, really surprising. Now, the reason that happened, in my opinion, was because Hearts dragged Celtic into a game of football that Hearts wanted it to look like. And Celtic never really came out of that. I have never seen Celtic, when the ball drops into the midfield, midfielders just hooking it forward to striker players, or defenders get it unopposed, nobody near them, and try and clip it into a striker's chest. That's just, for me, never what I associate with a Celtic team or their characteristics. And I think it was John, the previous caller, that says, which I completely agree with, was the amount of cheap, silly fouls that Celtic were giving away in and around the penalty area against a team that going into the game had scored 15 goals for set pieces. If a team scored 15 goals for set pieces throughout the course of the season, you best believe the coaches are saying all week, don't give away cheap fouls around the box, because this team makes you defend. Right. They put balls into the penalty area, and because Celtic did give away cheap fouls, it turned out in the end that Hearts, by the end of the game,
right, because we're fast approaching the break, let's cut to the chase. Forget tactics and control, for goodness sake. You think that's what this show is all about? Austin Trusty, never a red in a million lifetimes, says Scott and Canvas Lang. Give us your verdict, both of you.
Red card for me.
Dogso, you say? Denial of a goal scoring opportunity.
An obvious goal scoring opportunity.
I think I'm not just going to say Pierre Landry Kabore is going to score the goal, but he has an opportunity to score a goal which has been denied him by Austin Trusty. I think it's as much of a red card as Alexander Schwolo's at Tynecastle a couple of weeks earlier.
At Dens. Scott, you're not having that? You think he's going away from goal, etc.?
No, having that whatsoever. Nah. No. Listen, okay, he could have, right? But the point is, he was off balance, the two of them were off balance. So at what point could he have had a shot at goal, right? So it comes to, as I said to you, he's getting pushed to the corner. He's not going straight on and goal. He's not going straight on. He's gone diagonally, you know, and he's got another player there to back him up. Obviously, I'm no a big referee kind of person, but I don't know the rules inside out. But it comes to the point where I always led to believe, if you've got a covering person, it's not a red card.
The thing about it is, and we'll never admit it, about the subjective nature, and where, because what somebody thinks is covering somebody else doesn't, and what somebody else thinks is a touch away from goal, somebody else thinks it's a touch that can then, can his next touch take him towards goal? There's a lot of assessments to be made here, and everybody will pretend that they're absolutely certain one way or the other, and that's why you two get paid the big bucks. Which way do you lean?
So for me, I think it's a red card, because I don't think the ball is going far enough away from goal. So I don't think it's going towards the corner flag, where Kabore literally has to drive inside before he can potentially even think about getting a shot on goal. I think the area that the pitch that the ball's rolling onto, I think it's enough of a goal scoring opportunity. And again, I completely take into your point about the subjective nature of it. I don't think Dane Murray's in close enough proximity to affect the ball. Now, where I do feel sorry for Scott and other Celtic fans that are calling in, I thought when Stephen McLean brandished the yellow card, I didn't think at that point in time there was enough of a clear and obvious error to be brought to the monitor. Now, as you guys know, we might get this in the Wally Show. We will get this in the Wally Show. We're not privy at this moment in time to what the VAR communications was. So potentially what Stephen McLean saw in live time was clear and obvious. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think his decision at that point in time, regardless of how he came about, it was clear and obvious.
Listen, I think they've come to the right decision. For me,
what do you think about the?
It's an opportunity.
The going away from goal or the covering player argument. Do you think Dane Murray's getting there to affect it?
Not against Kabore. No, he might have caught me. I'm not sure he was catching Kabore in that situation. I think it's an opportunity to score a goal, which was denied him. I just thought it was something. You know, Stephen McLean is an experienced referee. I didn't think his positioning initially was great. He's looking through two or three Celtic players to get to it. I think maybe that is in the VAR's thoughts when he brings him to the screen. But Steve McLean and Austin Trusty have got history this season, and you know, he gave Austin Trusty the benefit of the doubt the first time at Hampden. I don't think he was ever going to give him the benefit of the doubt yesterday, because I thought they got the decision right.
Thank you, Scott. 0141 951 1025. I'm sure we'll hear more of that, so get your calls in and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. Loads to get through from the weekend, so the less you hear from me, the better. Let's go straight back to Jerry in Cumbernauld, who's on the line. Hi, Jerry.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Evening.
You all right?
Not too bad. Good. Thanks.
What are you thinking?
I'm actually delighted Celtic are going to appeal that red card, because I can't believe it. Well, I can, because it's the guy in VAR gave it, but I can believe that. But the circumstances and whatever, a weak referee, the whole game, the crowd refereed the game, unbelievable. And basically, I believe, in what I'm seeing, the Hearts player initiates the contact. The fact that the ball's not going straight to goal, it's going away from the side of the goal, and the fact that everybody's talking about it tells you it's not an obvious mistake as well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in some other normal part of the footballing world I'd buy that, but we will debate literally anything. Oh. We've seen that this season. We debate refereeing decisions that 5 years ago wouldn't even be a talking point. So I don't know about the last bit.
Everybody's got a different opinion to it. My opinion, I think it's a goal scoring opportunity. I think they've called it right eventually with the red card. But as I always say to you, it's an SFA appeal. I think it's getting heard tomorrow.
It'll be a fast-track one.
Fast-track one. So we'll find out, you know, whether or not they back Stephen McLean in the VAR, whether Austin Trust is free for the Falkirk game on Sunday.
The interesting thing about appeals now is because VAR is there, so you've got that layer, and it looks a bit daft if VAR doesn't get you off the hook, but you win your appeal. But I suppose what it does show is that
you say it looks a bit daft. Are you new to Scottish football?
But that's what I'm saying. That, and if you think about it, if you calm down and don't do that let's all hate ourselves in Scottish football thing for a second, because this happens in England or anywhere else as well, it should be independent. That's the whole point. It's an independent judicial panel. It's got nothing to do with John Beaton or Stephen McLean or Willie Collum or whatever. So they might win their appeal, they might lose their appeal. We've seen it before. It doesn't happen as often anymore since VAR. But did your teammate last season,
Dan Casey,
sent off, referee went to the monitor, stuck with his decision,
and
then he won his appeal. So it can happen. Do you think they will win the appeal, Jerry?
I would like to think they could win the appeal, to be honest with you. I don't know how your panel is saying that's a goal scoring opportunity. It's not straight through and goal. No, we're near a goal.
Do you think you have to be? Do you think you have to be straight through on goal for it to be a goal scoring opportunity? Do you need to be perfectly in line with the middle of the goal?
I'm not a great fan of XG, and it tells you what could happen or couldn't have happened. But the XG on that becoming a potential goal is 8%.
Well, you're saying that it's probably in the same area where Negrin scores. That's probably where Negrin, the ball is. So it's Negrin pretty much direct, in the same area in the field.
Negrin's a direct free kick.
That, well, listen, I can take, as I said before, I can take the argument of the way the direction that the ball's rolling. But if you take into context for me the fact that he's in front of Austin Trusty, I think he's then going to take his first touch directly towards goal to then shoot. He can shoot first time. I agree with you. If he does shoot first time, the chances of probability of him scoring are pretty low. But I still think there's certainly an argument there that he takes his first touch towards goal before he can shoot.
That's why I don't think XG is a particularly helpful measurement, because what if you're pulled down on the halfway line, but it's still that can still be a goal scoring opportunity to be sent off. Doesn't mean it's a high XG chance. I don't really. Well, clearly no one will agree on this, because everyone puts their own weight on those frames. Like, no, but as an example, right, because Jerry's saying the ball's moving away from goal, and it is, but how much is it moving? It's not moving in the opposite direction to the goal. It's not moving at right angle to the goal.
It's heading, not going at that much speed either.
So it depends how much weight you put on that, because nobody's wrong to say that it's rolling where it is, but can Kibori get there? As Andy says, does his next touch just take him into the box anyway? These are the questions that you need. I actually think the best way of analysing it, whatever way, whatever side of the outcome you fall on, see the still image from looking up the pitch. Yeah. The still image behind Craig Gordon's goal, sort of thing, or above that. I think that's the best one. It gives you the best idea of distances and where people are heading.
I'm only giving my opinion based on the rules, what the rules say. If Austin Trusty puts his hands up and allows Kibori to run past him, Kibori catches the ball, his next touch is going to be to take it in towards the Celtic goal. I don't think Dane Murray's getting across to him. So he shoots. He has a shot. Now, he might miss the target. He might hit the post. Kasper Schmeichel might save it. As Jerry says, he might, you know, in every 100 attempts, he might only score 8 of them. But he'll have 100 opportunities. And that's where, Trusty's foul denied him a goal-scoring opportunity. Therefore, by the letter of the law, the officials were correct to award the red card. Now, you say what you like about the rule, whether you agree with it or not, but in terms of how the officials sort of looked
implied
at the rule...
How they implied it,
I think they've made the right decision.
Mm. Jerry, I'll give you the final word.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying any of that right decision. I'm just not buying it. A ball moving away from goal. Murray's got plenty of time to get in the cover on that. There's plenty of angles of that as well. So that, to me, is not clear and obvious. And the defender is getting back.
So I had sympathy for you before, Jerry, and I actually slightly agreed with you in terms of direction. For me, the Dane Murray covering argument is a write-off for me. There's no way Dane Murray's getting to that ball. You're talking about the direction of the ball moving away from goal. It's moving even further away from Dane Murray. And when you actually watch it back, Dane Murray's running back towards Celtic's goal. Dane Murray isn't even running towards the ball until Kibori's fouled. So at the point of the foul, Dane Murray's running directly towards goal and the ball's getting further and further away from him. There's no way that the covering defender argument for me is a non-starter. There's no way he can get to the ball.
And on we go. Thank you very much to Jerry on the line. What about John Paul on the other line? How are you?
Evening, Gordon. Andy, Roger.
How's it going, John?
No bad. Listen, I've got a few points. I'll mention the sending off. You know, it could have been a yellow, it could have been. But yesterday I was really upset about it. Obviously, we dropped 2 points. But see, when you actually the dust settled, and I went back and I looked at the full game and watched it again, Celtic were the minority of that team, and every element in the park. They could have played football. They could have got the ball down and pass. Or passes were going astray. Hartford superior on second balls, superior on first tackle, they were running ahead of, they were made hungry, all at home, they got the crowd. You know, and for me, and as any Celtic fan should look at it and say how worrying it is, because see, for years, Rangers, have they went the distance, they've been near and near about, and they've choked or whatever, they've maybe not got over the line, Hearts have never been in this position. But see, for years, when everything's been going Celtic's way, it's all fine and dandy, and Carmagher has been amazing for years, I'm not going to sit here and say he's not a good player. But it's fine when all things are going well. But see, yesterday, for the first time when you go away and you need to win, and you need to roll up the sleeves and you need to get a win. Celtic midfield couldn't do that, and it's been dominated. They've been dominated in midfield for a number of games now. I have been getting over the line, but yesterday we were playing against a team who were up for the battle and mixed it about. Bearing in mind, they've got the best player in the league out, and Shankland, in my opinion. And I think if he's playing yesterday, they'll win the game, because they probably got his two of the chances that Cardale has his. Cammy Devlin's been brilliant, and Beningame, the two of them in the midfield, make Hearts a better team. Now, that was a chance for Celtic to go and make a difference. When it's time to roll up the sleeves, and Scott Brown, like we had a Scott Brown, somebody like that, who would just go and say, like, you've got to maybe blow him up, they're all going to take a yearly, mix the game up. Cal McGregor, Ingalls and Negan cannot do that, and they were found out yesterday. They were bullied, they were beaten, and my worry for Celtic and going forward is, when it comes to games like this, away to Rangers and playing Hearts again, are they going to have the ball, are they going to have the dig to go and make that happen? And as I say, that's all fine and well when it's gone dandy and we're playing good football and things are happening. Celtic are in a position where they've not got the strongest squad in the league, and they're now my opinion. They need to sign players. They've brought in a Juro who I think is a bit better than Ralston, but he's no brilliant. The new boy looked good yesterday. I think he'll be good bringing us up to speed. But my worry for Celtic, and if fans have been honest going forward, is we're in a position where we've never had this, and it's going to be worrying, because can we go the distance when things are against us, when teams are getting better and teams are actually running about us probably better man for man? That's my worry.
Listen, John Paul, a lot of the attention after the game inevitably goes to the red card, because it's a flashpoint, it's a moment of controversy, and it kind of overshadows the performance. I think what you've said about the performance is correct. The one thing that came to me last night, you know, Celtic have won 13 titles out of 14, whatever it is, and they've dominated in the big games. This season they've played Hearts three times, Rangers twice in the league, 15 points up for grabs. Celtic have taken 2 points out of 15. You know, whether it's a midfield that's been dominated, whether they've lost bad goals at set pieces, whether they've failed to take the chances that were offered to them. But it's really unlike Celtic to have a record like that in the big head-to-heads. And when you're going in to the rest of the season, I think there's only about 10 games now until the split. Rangers among them, there's some other difficult games in there. You go to Aberdeen next Wednesday night, who might, you have a new manager in by then. And then there's going to be five bumper games after the split that will decide the title. Celtic need to do much, much better against those direct rivals, or you won't win the league.
Is that why, Andy, that Hearts will feel really quite content about yesterday, although they would have wanted to win the game and they couldn't? John Paul's pointed out the players they had missing, and I know Celtic have got big players missing, long-term ones, but you're talking about Celtic having goodness knows how many times the budget, so it's always going to sting more if Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin and Benny Beningame are missing. But added to that, as Roger said, that's 1 point that Celtic have taken in three games against Hearts this season. It's the easiest way to beat a rival to a title is to win the games against them, and Celtic are miles behind Hearts in the head-to-head.
Yeah,
now.
Well, they are the proverbial six-pointers, aren't they? And I said that I had Celtic favourites going into the game, given the players that Hearts were missing, and no, I agree with John Paul's assessment of the game. Now, I think it's potentially, for me, harsh on Callum McGregor, because as much as Callum McGregor is someone that likes to be on the ball and dictate the tempo of games and be in possession of the ball, I think if there is time to roll your sleeves up and do the so-called dirty side of the game, I think Callum McGregor can do it, and I think he can do it well. But I look at Negan and I look at Engels, I think their profiles in midfield, I don't think suited to that, which is why I was really surprised that I thought Hearts found it so easy to just drag Celtic into that game. You just expect at one point in the game that Celtic, somebody within Celtic's team is going to get their foot on the ball and do what I says Callum McGregor's done for years, control the tempo of the game, let Celtic play anything. And it was very interesting to hear Dennett McKenzie's post-match comments saying the game plan was to unnerve Celtic and never allow them to settle. I actually think Celtic played into that game plan pretty handedly.
Thank you very much to John Paul on the line. Let me tell you about this before we go further.
Grade one.
£350,000 up for grabs this week. Enter now by texting YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will find all the rules for this network competition, or you can call 03434 269 0840. Calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday. Somebody will win the lot. Just answer your phone and the £350,000 is yours. Good luck. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday, or should I say Andrew? I was listening to you and your best pal from primary school, Scott Allen, on another podcast this morning, and I heard him refer to you as Andrew.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
When
they
crashed
pleased.
The car. Was that an accident?
I'd like to think so, because like I said, there's only one person that calls me that.
That guy that phones in.
Oh yeah, he's too, I forgot him. About him.
Your mum?
Forgot about him.
Can't believe he Andrew'd you. Andy Halliday and Roger it. Hannah.
And obviously that girl from the primary school, she would call you Andrew.
Oh,
back,
oh, we never got to the again? Bottom of that, did we? Oh no, what is her
Sharon.
Name? Sharon, of course it is.
Sharon Osborne.
You answered that far, quickly? Far too quickly.
Mrs. Halliday, far too quickly for that. Right, let's go back to the phones before Andy gets himself in any more trouble. It is 01419511025 if you want to get in touch. So please do. Aidan is on the line. How are you, Aidan?
Yes, Gordon. How are you? I'm good, thanks.
What are you thinking?
So I've been listening to the show for the last 45 minutes or so. I've been listening to the opinions about the red card and whether it is a red card or not. It's took me 2 minutes to find the laws on this, and there's no debate whatsoever.
Okay. Everybody says that, Aidan. You're aware of that, though.
No, like, I know it's been said and there's been the word subjective that's getting bandied about, but, like, the first sentence literally says, a clear and obvious opportunity means that without the foul, a goal is almost certainly going to be scored. Like, that's not even debatable. It's not a dead-on goal-scoring chance. The second one says, if a player commits a foul that stops a promising attack rather than an obvious one, it is only a yellow card.
That's more than a promising attack, though, isn't it?
No, not at
the
all.
Promising attacks, like bursting through the centre circle, you're all driving forward, everybody's there, pull of the that's your classic sort of pull of the shirt one, it's usually.
It is absolutely a promising attack more than an obvious
I forgot
one.
There was no debate. My apologies.
All right, mate. Cool, whatever.
I just think, Aidan, you know, the two of the most experienced officials in the country have come together and thought it was a red card. They, you know, they know the rules. They know how to interpret the rules.
No, hold on. I think that's a key distinction, because where Aidan is right, so you've got the rules are never going to be a gotcha. Let's cut them a fraction of slack, as you say. I think they know the rule,
yeah.
But it's just about how you interpret it. Aidan can interpret that one way in a way that don't. It's never what are the chances, right, that somebody is going to phone in, read the rule book, and everybody's going to go,
yeah,
oh, you're right,
listen,
I can't believe they didn't know that rule.
Interpreting the same words in a different way. I was actually quite surprised Celtic appealed, and I know Martin was vehement last night about the decision. I was quite surprised, certainly what you said earlier on, you don't get many appeals nowadays, you know, because of VAR, you don't get many Premiership appeals. I was surprised Celtic appealed it. They will be desperate for Austin Trusty to be available at the weekend. We're not sure about Kieran Tierney's injury yet. You need to remember, still without Carter Vickers, still without Johnson. I mean, there's a real people bang on about Beningame and Devlin and Shanklin yesterday. There's a fair chance Celtic could be without their first choice back four come the weekend. Which would be a problem for anyone, but I'll be surprised.
Stephen Welsh, anyone? Motherwell fans everywhere watching on.
Celtic win the appeal, I'll wear Rogers specs for the full 2 hours next week.
there's no way
they'll win the appeal.
No chance. I don't think.
Aidan, you heard that, phone back in and make sure this happens next Monday.
I'll wear your specs for 2 hours next week. No problem at all.
I really want to see that. Are they strong?
Hold on a second. There you go.
You could have some headache if they're. I mean, you couldn't wear Hughes for 2 hours, could you?
Oft. Oh, I almost feel.
Exactly.
I almost feel dunk putting
them on. You're going to be sick for 2 weeks. I, just one man's personal opinion, I don't see the debate around denying obvious goal scoring opportunity offences. I think it's much. I think it is a bit harder than some of the others because everybody's.
Because it is subjective.
No, but not so much that. I think everybody, whether, like I say, even if you think it's a red or you think it's not, you're having to sort of. There's an element of prediction involved, which Aidan quite rightly points out. You're trying to kind of predict what happens next or make a fair assessment of it.
I think that's fair because
remember this, as Roger said at Dundee a few weeks ago, the Hearts goalkeeper, and people are saying, is that defender getting back? In fact, people said, well, that
I used
time,
the direction of the ball for that.
His touch was taking him away from goal. And I just,
because where I think it is fair, like you're saying, is so I'm kind of going against myself here, but I'm playing devil's advocate. If Trusty doesn't foul Kabore and he's running behind him for the full length through the time that Kabore gets the ball, and Kabore does plan on taking that touch towards the goal, then there's certainly an argument that Trusty can then nick in and or block the shot.
But I think the way they look at it is you pause it at the moment the foul's committed and then sort of take Trusty out.
So that's exactly what I was going to say.
I think that's the way they look at it in terms of what
that's
happens
exactly
next.
What I was going to say. But Trusty, actually, it's where the point of contact is for Trusty's foul. Trusty's then out the equation because he's the last man that's fouled him. And again, as I said, Aidan might disagree with me, others. The covering defender argument for me is a non-entity. Where I do have sympathy is the clear novice error. I'm using the old speech marks from the direction of the ball going. But that might be the clear novice error that Stephen Quinn says. Remind he might be talking about covering defender.
Who sits on the panel tomorrow?
It's just an independent judicial panel. Yeah,
so
it's not.
There is a chance.
I don't know. Obviously, I genuinely have no idea. No,
but the point I was going to make was you touched on the Willie show. There's a chance that Austin Trusty could be cleared by the independent panel, could play against Falkirk at the weekend. But at the VAR review, the Willie show that you do, Willie could back Stephen McLean and John Beaton.
100%, because again, you're just asking different humans with different eyesight and different interpretations of these same rules.
And the KMI could go a completely different way as well.
To give their opinion. And like I said, the problem with that is that looks messy for sure, but it also sort of shows you that it's all independent. What's the point if every appeals panel backs up the decision? That makes no sense. Otherwise, you wouldn't have one. So
it's so much. There are a few layers. You go back to the first flashpoint this season involving Stephen McLean and Austin Trusty in the Premier Sports Cup semi-final when Trusty clashed with Jack Butland, and it was a yellow card, and they stuck with the yellow card, and the yellow card on the Willie show was backed, and that was a subjective one then. So, as you say, we're never all going to agree, because we remember being in here the day after on the Monday, and it was Rangers supporters lining up to come on to say they got it wrong. Trusty should have been sent off.
Charlie's on the line. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I'm pretty much the same as the last caller. Was Aidan, was his name. I'm in the line with him. But I don't think I quite got all his points out. I don't know what happened there. But the ball's going away for the goal. See when you're talking about the phrase, he's freezing the action. And you were talking about earlier on, Gordon, about the view from behind the goal. So the ball, when they freeze the action, the ball's 7 yards to the right and how many yards further on than the attacker, the Hearts player. So you're assuming that he's got to go and then make a touch. And people are saying, his next touch is going to be into the box and into towards goal. Well, you're assuming he's going to make a good touch there. You know what I mean? He's running on the body, right? How many people took a bad touch? So, Dane Murray is running in. And Scales is running in. And I know it's like double indemnity as far as Trusty's concerned. Because he needs to be the equation, because he's then invisible.
Nah, it's his fault, right? You're right.
So he needs to be a covering player. So he's invisible at that point.
Scales is not catching him, is he, Charlie? I think there's good debates about the direction of the ball and that for sure. Well, I don't think Liam Scales is not catching. If you do that thing that you said there and take Trusty, Scales won't catch that, will he? From behind?
What we're seeing is the Hearts player has got to take the touch out and make an effective touch towards goal. But the point is, he was carded. It was there clear. We're having all this speculation. It was there clear and obvious error. Why is VAR getting involved?
Listen, that's been VAR in a nutshell, hasn't it, since it came in? Because the whole point is, the phrase clear and obvious error is subjective as well. What Roger thinks is a clear and obvious error might not be what Charlie does, and so on. I think the problem, the bit that's clearly going to leave this open to debate, and Aidan says there was no debate, this bit about the away from goal, we're just using that word, away. That can mean so many things, because away, clearly in this case, he's not running in the opposite direction from goal, right? He's not running away from goal in that regard. You can be running at a 90 degree angle, a 45 degree angle. So the notion of running away from goal, I think that word can just be used to fit whatever your feeling is on this decision.
Yeah, and like I said, the probability is obviously less, but players can still score goals from an angled shot. Now, listen, I'm certainly not going to change my mind. I've said plenty of my piece on it. Charlie's not going to change his mind. I do hope moving forward, though, if there is a scope to, you know, review VAR and ways that we can make it better in terms of experience for fans and ways we can make it where it's, which is never going to happen, but where we can all agree on certain things. I do think, and I've said it time and time again, I think the clear and obvious stigma is making it almost impossible for referees.
So just take that away.
Just take it away.
But then you are, then you really are re-refereeing the game.
Which, what is wrong with that?
You okay with that? Yeah.
Well, that's for me. That's what VAR is. VAR still is re-refereeing the game. Although you're talking about clear and obvious error, I think take it away, and I think it would make the life of VAR officials and referees, I think it would make their job so much easier.
Thank you, Charlie. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Hopefully this is straightforward. No VAR checks, no stewards inquiries, a clear winner. Someone chapped my window when I was parked outside Tynecastle today and said we need to end the nonsense and have Andy Halliday play on tonight's Beat the Pundit because they felt that Roger Hannah had been playing far too often.
Who said that?
Yeah.
He's played once in about 2 months.
Or was it the other way around?
No, I was on last week.
It was for you. No, it was, yeah, someone wanted you to play.
You got the 10 last week, and that's the first time you'd played in
some of your Hearts
a
fans.
Long time.
Must be your Hearts fan club. Yeah. 01419511025. Beat the Pundit is up next, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025. It was a busy day at Tynecastle yesterday. We've had quite a bit on Austin Trusty. We've had a little bit on the performances. So if you want to add to that, please do. And what about the bigger picture? We've not really got into the title race as such because it was a day that Hearts' gap at the top was cut by Rangers. Rangers went above Celtic. Celtic, of course, now in third place. So I wonder how all of you, everybody that's involved, how do you feel now? Has your opinion on the title race changed as a result of the weekend? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I'm looking forward to this as always on a Monday. Andy, another one, is in Cambuslang. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, gents. How's yourself?
Good, good, good here. Thank you for asking. What is this your first time? Have you ever played this before?
It's my second time. The first time I destroyed Gordon DL 1-0 and I beat him in a tiebreaker.
Oh my goodness.
Wait, yesterday? Double tiebreaker yesterday?
I heard this, yeah. I heard about it, sorry.
I never heard the like.
I pulled into I actually pulled into my driveway as Beat the Pundit, and I know loads of people stay in the car to hear it, and I really should have, but I was absolutely starving. I had to take away call on my name. I had to go,
I'm starving.
Needs name. Must. Anyway, let's toss the coin. The blue side of the coin will be for Andy Halliday, and the red side will be for Roger Hannah. Both on minus one, remember, so it's always good to try and take advantage of that on a Monday night. And it is blue for Andy Halliday. What's up with that? What are you shaking your head at? You win all the time.
Lack of game.
Andy V.
Game
Andy.
Time. Lack of game time
just
for Hannah.
He's getting tens as well.
Tell you what, he's got some cheek talking about lack of game time.
I know.
Be joking. Seriously. He's watched.
This is the best game time I get.
He's watched more Motherwell games this season than I have in the last 10. And I'm unbelievable.
Very lucky to do so.
Exactly. It's a joy. Right, Andy Halliday, we'll give you something to listen to. Andy in Cambuslang, you have 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Yep.
Good man then, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's the only Scottish Premiership player from the Ivory Coast?
Diamandé.
Name any current Celtic player who made their league debut age 17.
James Forrest.
Are there more Scottish or Irish players in the English Premier League?
Scottish.
How many points separate the bottom two in the Scottish Premiership?
Six.
Name the last Scottish side Lauren Shanklin played for before Hearts.
Dundee United.
Which Scottish Championship side stadium has the smallest capacity?
Edinburgh side.
Okay, let's bring him back, Andy Halliday, against your namesake. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, 30 seconds, just answer the same set of questions. Your time starts now. Who's the only Scottish Premiership player from the Ivory Coast?
Diamandé.
Name any current Celtic player who made their league debut aged 17.
Forrest.
Are there more Scottish or Irish players in the English Premier League? How many points separate the bottom two in the Scottish Premiership?
Three.
Name the last Scottish side Lauren Shankland played for before Hearts.
Dundee United.
Which Scottish Championship side stadium has the smallest capacity?
Lesser Hampden.
Name any SPFL side with a boat on their club badge.
Oh. Quick, Keenan Morton.
Okay. Andy, what are you thinking?
It's close. He's probably just done there, but I don't mind losing to a fellow Blue Nose.
Well, he does start on minus one. The only Scottish Premiership player from the Ivory Coast is Mohamed Diomande. Why is that question in there, Roger Hannah? What's the news?
Scotland will play the team that Steve Plant described today as Côte d'Ivoire at the Hill Dickinson Stadium, Everton's new ground, on March the 31st. Mm-hmm. Has it gone?
Your thoughts? Good World Cup warm-up opponent.
Yes, if you're playing Morocco, try and get a flavour of another African team. You're playing Haiti, so we play Curaçao before we leave. So I think it's wise to go and play an African side. The relevance of it being played in Liverpool is slightly lost on me, but I'm sure there's a reason somewhere.
Andy, if anyone's watching the live stream, let me apologise and explain what Andy Halliday is doing. So he does have league tables on his sheet, but the club crests are absolutely tiny, so he's got his eye tiny. Pressed to the paper to see if he can see the boat question.
I can make out that Clyde's a boat.
We'll get to that. Okay. Name any current Celtic player who made their league debut age 17. You both went James Forrest and you were both wrong. Wow. He was 18. Oh. Kieran Tierney.
Or
Anthony Ralston. So none of you got it. So it's one all, but Andy and Cambus Lang still leads due to Andy Halliday's minus one. You both said there were more Scottish than Irish players in the English Premier League. You were both wrong. It's Irish 10-8. So he stays in front, does Andy, in Cambus Lang. However, how many points separate the bottom two in the Premiership? It is three. Kilmarnock on 14, Livy on 11. So Andy Halliday levels. You both knew Dundee United was the last club before Hearts in Scotland that Lauren Shanklin played for. Still a level game. The Scottish Championship side stadium with the smallest capacity. It is Queen's Park. I'll need to give him Lesser Hampden. Andy, I tried to take it away from someone before and be clever because he didn't say the team name, but I got overruled and it is Lesser Hampden. And Clyde have got a boat in their badge. You're right. So the Hibs, so the Stranraer, and so the Morton.
Yes, it looks very boat-like.
What a guess. How did you pluck that out of thin air?
I just tried to quickly look to as many badges as I could, and Morton looked quite
boaty. Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking it off you then.
Oh, that's fine. You're inquiring.
No, for goodness sake. I thought you were only checking that retrospectively.
No.
And you can point at that all you want. I've got no, I can't see that.
It looks like he's got Andy, yellow sails.
It's a boat. Why are you trying to justify
well,
it?
Sure, well, it's a boat. What I was looking at. So there was no others in the top flight of the championship?
Andy get it.
He didn't. So if I take it away, it still wins, doesn't he? Yeah.
I think that's a tiebreak if you take it away, no?
No, it would be a tiebreak if you took away Lesser Hampden as well.
Yeah.
All right. How could you take that away?
I know, I can't. Andy, well, and Cambus Lang.
You're calling it the City Stadium. You
did say in there somewhere you were a Rangers fan, Andy. How significant do you think the combination of results was yesterday?
Definitely has got an impact on what's going to happen towards the end of the season. I think it was probably the best outcome yesterday as a Rangers fan for obviously both Hearts and Celtic dropping points and us getting a wee bit of breathing space between, from between us and Celtic. Top end of the pitch, so we're still definitely struggling. We need to get somebody in there. We need a poacher. We need a number nine. The amount of chances we create, the amount of balls we get into the box, and we'll just no get anybody, way back to like Ali McCoist or Kenny Miller or whoever to actually, kind of stick the ball in the back of the net, an out and out poacher is, I think, what we need.
Andy, it's sort of the same debate as just rolling week after week, where Rangers now won 8 games in a row. Felt unthinkable under Russell Martin. Mm-hmm. They have now, sort of symbolically, in terms of what it means to the feel-good factor, they've gone above Celtic, and more than that, they're officially above them in the league table. They're closer to Hearts, etc. But yeah, I still hear lots of this from Rangers fans saying they're not willing to be fully confident yet until they either get a new striker or they win games more comfortably, which is a bit strange because it was 3-0 yesterday, but you take Andy's point, it was a bit of a slog in the second half. Does it matter?
I'm of belief that it does matter. I think if you have a... No, I know you can't guarantee, but I think if you were to be told that for the next 10 games you're going to play really well, I think that gives you the best opportunity to win all 10 games. But I can only give a lot of credit to Danny Rowe and his players because they're getting over the line in a lot of games. Now, on the face of it, watching the game yesterday, I thought it was quite a tough watch. I thought Rangers struggled to break down Dundee, in all fairness due to Dundee having a really well organised shape about them, but you know, 53% possession, so I'm talking about Celtic not having a lot of control. I don't think Rangers had as much control as I expected.
Certainly second half
given they're playing Dundee at home. But I can't help but think how important the two goals in injury time could potentially be, because who's to say that this unbelievable title race that we've got this season doesn't go to goal difference towards the end of the season? It's that tight between the top three, so who's to say that that goal from the Joe Bevan mistake that Roger touched on at the top of the show and that Gassama strike in the last minute can't be of vital importance?
Yeah, listen, without doubt. I mean, Rangers had a spell early in the season where they won 1-8, and that was against Alloa Athletic in the League Cup. So to go and win 8 from 8 in all competitions shows you the progress they've made under Danny Rowe.
I know you're famously unwilling to tell us who you think will win the league.
I don't know. I mean, listen, there's not an unwillingness. Listen, I genuinely couldn't.
I'm sick. Me and Andy are sick of hearing this.
But I don't know either. It's just who you fancy. So you have to fancy one.
Can we tempt you into
I'm enjoying the race.
Can we tempt you into telling us, did yesterday's combination of results move your dial?
Not especially. I think if Hearts had won yesterday and gone 9 clear of Celtic, I would maybe have started giving a bit more credence to what Andy
Celtic
says.
Not being able to catch them.
Well, 9 points is, you know, you wonder where Hearts are going to drop
it
9
felt,
points.
Though, it felt, the Rangers fans in the stadium clearly felt like it was a big day. Whether it turns out to be as big as they hope it is, obviously that remains to be seen. The ground cheered every time Hearts scored.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Danny Rule after it. Now, either one of two things, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Either he's a brilliant bluffer, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it's that one, or he's not quite got the landscape yet. Because I asked him after the game, what was it like? You must have known what was going on at Tynecastle. You could hear all the cheering, and he said, yeah, I didn't really know which way that was going, because I'm paraphrasing, but sort of any outcome at Tynecastle would have been good for us. And I'm thinking, no.
Yeah.
Rangers fans ain't cheering Celtic goals here. No way. I think he was bluffing perhaps and trying to... You get the feeling he's striking that balance quite well though, isn't he? Where he's playing it down and he's admitting there's 15 games to go, but also trying to kind of whip it up a bit. He's talking about the fans kind of getting along and staying with them, and you know that if, hunting the teams above them. All these little sound bites are starting to come out.
Yeah, he's consistently referencing the next game. So as soon as the game that's in front of him is done and dusted after the Dundee game, he then went on and spoke about the next game. But you quite rightly, you know, after the game, he also points out the fact that when he was first in the door and he's looking around the stadium come the 90th minute, when the players are doing their lap of honour, he's doing his lap of honour to thank fans, that the seats were pretty empty, whereas he felt towards the tail end of the game, given it was only 1-0, obviously up until the 90th minute as well, there were still so many bums in seats. So that for him and that for Rangers is obviously a positive.
Thank you very much to Andy in Cambuslang. It was a good win for Andy Halliday on Beat the Pundit. You said you were nervous because you felt you'd taken your eye off the ball a bit this weekend.
A wee bit, but I was quite lucky in terms of the ways the questions went.
Why have you been busy?
Yeah, I have actually been pretty busy.
I noticed that. You seen this, Roger Hannah?
48 hours.
Oh. You seen the latest development? Can we take a look for those watching on the live stream? Have we got
no
that?
No way.
Look at this. You are sitting in the company of an M&S model. A fully, presumably paid up, legitimate Marks and Spencer's model with product codes for you to dress exactly like Andy Halliday. So Roger Hanna, if you like that jumper, and my goodness, why wouldn't you, type in T303310M and you too could dress like Andy Halliday.
Does it say something about me, Gordon? I was actually looking at Haggis, Neeps and Tatties rather than what he was wearing.
Oh, let me tell you, the best part about all of that was the crickets.
Honestly, I feel quite starstruck. I've never met an M&S model before. That's incredible. That's why he's been busy.
Is that where you got your jacket?
No, it's not actually. Is this that, is I've had this one for.
That's where I got these trousers. Can you get me discounts?
I love my Marks and Spencer's clothing.
Other supermarkets, etc., are available as I always say. And by the way, for anyone who's not watching the live stream, I know lots of you are. All we've done is bring up a picture of Andy Halliday through Mrs. Halliday, obviously, as if they would choose him. He's now some sort of M&S model.
You don't look as comfortable as Mrs. Halliday does in the photograph, I have to say.
Slightly out of my comfort zone, I must admit. But
you look as if you're kidnapped and waving for help.
I got a cracking haggis, neeps and tacks.
I thought that was going to be I got a cracking paycheck. A cracking
haggis. It was me, that's for sure.
Did you cook it?
No.
So they cook it?
I can't believe that.
They cook it?
No, Jilly cooked it.
All right,
I thought you meant me specifically. No, Jilly cooked it. It was lovely.
So what if
haggis bonbons?
What if the M&S photographer turns up and says that food looks rubbish? We need to cook it.
Am I missing something?
Maybe.
I don't know.
So we've got the codes for the Tom Kerridge dish, the codes for Andy's outfit and Jilly's outfit. Are you so busy waving at the camera, you've forgotten your daughter? Because Winnie's outfit is mentioned.
Have we cropped
there,
her out? I think.
Where's she?
Yeah, no, that's purposely cropped out. She's there. She's right there.
You can see the corner of the high chair, I think, right here.
She had on an M&S outfit as
obviously.
Well.
Obviously. Yeah. Brilliant, honestly. Look at this guy. No wonder he's...
Can't believe it.
He's really a part-time footballer these days. I mean, my goodness.
If there are any supermarkets out there who wish to engage Hugh Keevans or myself, you know where to reach us.
Do you know what's so funny about that, right?
You're a CNA man.
I've actually just got a flashback that I was intended to embarrass Roger after the Beat the Pundit was over until this actually happened.
No, you've been
because
done.
See, when I was going over the badges and I was looking for boats, I vividly remembered Roger's answer to what tree was on the Motherwell badge.
What did you say again?
A sycamore.
Can I just say, you're too deeply in to try and divert attention. Listen, to me now.
I completely agree. I'll take that one in the chat.
Other supermarkets are available, thank you.
I'm going to go into my local branch tomorrow to say, listen, I don't care, Andy Halliday advertises it, you've got to have it.
I think it's go up to the till and quote Andy for 10% off.
That's what it is.
That's what they say. Gordon is in Airdrie. Hi, Gordon.
Yeah, just to say the M&S thing, guys, I'm a 50 long. It's only puts I can go in
the 50 long?
31 hours.
You sure?
31 long, eh?
I'm bigger than these days, unfortunately.
50 long.
No long, right enough, for goodness sake.
What height are you, Gordon?
I'm 6'6".
Oh, jeez. Bet Gordon tucks away some amount of haggis, sneaks and
tatties. Rangers will sign you. They're only going for people who are 6'3 plus.
Hi, Gordon, you could be Rangers next signing, and they're linked to a 6'4 striker today. Is that what they need to win this league?
Well, my opinion was Celtic do it. You know, Tierney come back to Celtic, Jota here back to Celtic, try to get Kalulu back. Why don't we get Dessers back? He scored 52 goals in a team that couldn't create a chance. Now, this team can create chances now, and he knows the game, he knows the club. Why would you not bring him back?
Well, do you know what? It's actually really funny you've said that, Gordon, because I actually made the reference yesterday that I would be more... Now, Rangers are in the title race. I wrongly ruled them out 2 months ago, but given they had their worst start to a league season since 1978, I don't think I was wholly daft by ruling them out at that stage. But I actually made the point yesterday, I would be supremely more confident in Rangers winning the league this year if they had Cyril Dessers at the football club. Now, I said at the top of the show, I still make Hearts favourite, and I said that I think, for me, that Celtic or Rangers have 7 days to change my mind. From a Rangers point of view, I think they desperately need a number nine over the next 7 days. Now, we've just seen today, I think they're linked to, is it Ryan Nedeli from Hansa Rostock in the German division? I think that is one of the remaining pieces of the puzzles that need rectified in this window.
It's interesting.
Is that going to happen, that, Roger? Do you think so?
I suspect it will happen, yeah.
Danilo, is it Paphos leading the race for Danilo? Yeah. Ryan Nedeli, as Andy said, 6'4", German third tier. They've gone a bit kind of Jamestown, a bit out there trying to unearth a gem.
Reminding me a bit of Egerman coming over from Morocco. You know, it's not really a market where Rangers or Celtic or Hearts have particularly plundered in the past, Gordon. So quite where this one's turned up from, I'm not sure. I'd love to say I know all about the guy. I don't really know too much about him. Be interesting to see if he comes in, which I suspect he might, how big a role he plays. And also, is he the last striker to come in, or is there room for another one?
More than one.
Well, no signature Mitty yesterday, was there?
Ill. Just ill, yeah. I think. So what does that mean? It's getting cold. He'll be back next week.
Yeah, but just, you know, it's a fine line you walk. If Danilo goes and Chermiti is ill again or injured or suspended,
carry another fully fledged striker in that squad. It would need to be somebody that could do a couple of roles.
Yeah, I think three out and out number nines, I think, is more than sufficient. But for me, I think that Chermiti has had a real upturn in improvement in terms of performances over the last 2 months. I still think there's huge question marks whether he can be that man that can get you the 20, 25 goals that you're expecting at the start of the season. And then I must say, Miovski got the chance again yesterday to lead the line in Chermiti's absence. Again, didn't grab the chance for me.
Who's going to win the league after yesterday, Gordon? Have you changed your mind?
Yeah, I think Rangers will win it. I think they will get there. If they get a couple of signings in, especially a number nine, I think would make a hell of a difference.
Okay, good man. Thank you, Gordon. In Airdrie, 0141 951 1025. If any supermarkets want to get the sponsorship in, call us now and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here at 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need, so please do give us a call. Get a good teaser this, right? It's been sent in by a few different people, so I will appreciate the fact that they've sent it in, but I think it probably comes from Scotland's coefficient on Twitter, who tweeted this out over the weekend as well. Hopefully you've not seen it. Don't spoil it.
I haven't.
Roger Hanna as well. So those of you who copy and pasted it and sent it in were eternally grateful. But tonight's teaser is this. It is a nod to Barney Stewart, who I think we can all agree is just... How good a story is that, Roger Hanna? Said it at the weekend. Fantastic. 15 months ago, he played for Heriot Watt University. He is still doing his degree. His brothers go to Oxford and Cambridge. They're clearly intellectuals. He was a tennis prodigy or something when he was younger. Some other sport out there. It's just the latest in a long line of brilliant storylines running through Scottish football this season.
Listen, he's done absolutely terrifically well, as has John McGlynn finding him. I actually was there last season for Super Scoreboard when Barney Stewart made his debut. They'd signed him from Heriot Watt University about October, November time, but he couldn't play until the January transfer window opened. And I was there, Queen's Park game in the Championship at the Falkirk Stadium, 0-0. John threw him on with 10, 15 minutes to go. And the best I can say, Gordon, is he ran about a lot. And then didn't play an awful lot in the run-in, used here and there. Sent it in Fermling at the start of this season to try and just sharpen up. And my goodness, he's sharpened up and he's come back and he's given Falkirk an extra edge. John was joking he didn't want to let him leave the stadium on Saturday night until he had signed a new contract extension.
Said he was probably the lowest paid player in the entire league.
And it was a great quote for Barney, who said, "I'd be the lowest paid player if I was in the Championship," he said afterwards. So I would imagine there's a willingness on all sides to improve Barney Stewart's working conditions, shall we say, and he'll do well for Falkirk.
It's a great message, Andy, isn't it?
Incredible.
To show that, you know, I know it's not possible for everyone, but just because you're not at the top level at the age of 15, you know, that's...
Yeah, but it's not possible for everyone, but it's an aspiration for everyone. There'll still be players in Lowland League football, West of Scotland Junior League, that's probably still have aspirations to play at the highest level they possibly can. And like you say, it's university football. It's Heriot Watt University, and it was 15 months ago. So it's not as if this has been a journey that's went across 5, 6, 7 years that you can eventually get to the point where you're scoring a hat at the top flight. And this isn't biased towards the Scotland game, but it almost is. I think we have so many amazing stories like this. You look at, we all know the likes of Andy Robertson. You look at his journey, you know, released at a young age, playing in the bottom level of Scottish football with Queen's Park. It's a fantastic story, and hopefully it's inspiring the next generation.
Absolutely. Right, so it's a nod to that. Can you name the last player to score a hat-trick for all of the other Premiership clubs?
Okay. Well,
so not... obviously Barney Stewart for Falkirk.
Do you know what's so difficult about that? Was it last season when... No, it wasn't. It was the season before, we never had a hat-trick.
None.
But last year, Hamza Agyeman had one for Rangers.
Rangers' most recent one is... Was that in the league?
It was against Hibs. Easter Road. I think it was in the league, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
3-3 draw.
Yep. Okay. Any others to kick us off?
This is a fair whack back, but Lorne Shanks would have had it against Celtic.
Well, by the way, he signed a new deal today. Our colleague Andrew McLean points out to me. I must have missed that.
Yeah, I didn't see
not
that.
Not like you, Roger Hanna.
No.
It's easy for me to miss things running about. But, you know, is that not in the paper tomorrow?
It will be now.
Come on. Come on. That's unbelievable. You had the chance to just style that out and say, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, you'd absolutely. Right, I'll get back to you on the rest of the teaser, will we? Want to crack on.
Was that was that wrong?
What was the team
song? Lorne Shankland.
For?
Hearts against Celtic.
Oh my goodness, I've lost my teaser. Where is it? Yes, I think you were right with... Yeah, Lawrence Shankland. Okay, we'll leave it there. Right, let's go to Derek on the line. How are you, Derek?
Hey, good evening, Bob, and good evening, panel.
Hi, how's
Derek.
It going?
Good evening, Derek.
Did Rob Pino score a hat-trick last week? Did that not count?
Who, sorry?
In the cup. Miofsky.
Yeah, league hat-trick.
Oh, league hat-trick.
Yeah.
When yesterday's Rangers game at the penalty incident, the player had already been booked. Why was he not sent off?
Ah, you're not wanting the Dundee player sent off for that as well, are you, Derek? Come on.
He'd already been booked, Gordon.
Andy? We're getting harsh in here.
Well,
sure.
I actually feel for Ryan Astley in the awarding of the penalty. I'm not saying it's not a penalty. I'm just from a player standpoint. I thought Dundee did ever so well at defending their own box and flinging themselves in front of blocks and crosses and whatnot. And I think that's what it was. It was an act of desperation to stop trying to fling in a block at the edge of the 6 yard box for Nico Raskin. But you can see for the follow through that he's. His motion's the one that takes him into Raskin to commit the foul.
By the way, I also don't think he was booked.
Was he not?
I just looked up, Derek, because you had me doubting. Ryan Astley, I don't think so.
I thought he was already booked.
I can see Ethan Hamilton was booked. And you know what? They don't look too dissimilar. I'd forgive you for thinking it was him. But I don't think... I'll blame this one particular app that I'm looking at. I don't think Ryan Astley was booked before. Roger, was that a penalty for you?
Yeah. It's an odd one because
they are odd, those ones, aren't they?
They're not always given.
No, they're not.
And quite often it's not the defender that cleans the player, it's a goalie that cleans the player out. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I think people say, oh, he got to the ball first, so he's had the chance at the shot. But it's a foul, it's a penalty. It's just unusual to see it given.
They're interesting ones, those, Andy, aren't they? Because, like Roger, I couldn't say that's not a penalty. Yeah. You're wiped out in the penalty box.
Yeah.
Raskin gets his shot away. Go on, I'll do the old biased football fan thing for a second. Did something similar not happen to Elijah Just?
It did.
At Fir Park at the weekend. He fires the ball wide.
Tackle as well.
He fires the ball wide, gets wiped out.
Did it not also happen to Elijah Just in the St Mirren game with Alec Gogic?
Yes.
No, was it not the Hibs game? I remember one, the Hibs game at Fir Park.
Anyway, are those ones quite hard to get consistency on then? How do you draw the line about, you know, how far... Because, look, Raskin's had his shot over the bar. So then he's wiped out.
Yeah. I think, again, we're pretty subjective on this as well. I think if Raskin shoots and Raskin's follow-through motions into the defender, so he's the one that ends up initiating the contact, I think then it shouldn't be a penalty. But I think Ryan Astley, through pure desperation to try and block the shot, flies in to try and block it. He probably takes a motion of two steps and then clatters into Raskin. So for me, that's why it should be a penalty. I actually thought there was an incident in the Celtic game last week, we all can like Talbot, that I thought should have been a penalty. I think it was James Forrest on the right hand side of the box, it crosses it and the player completely wipes him out after the ball and catches him pretty flush in the ankle. So, but like he says, I don't think they are instances.
What was the difference with Elijah Just one at the weekend? Is there a difference?
I think it should be a penalty kick. I remember thinking live, I'm not seeing a replay of it, but live at the game I thought it was a penalty kick because it was actually the centre half for Kilmarnock that was covering.
Deez, was it, went chasing across?
It might have been Deez, but they were chasing across and they were covering a little underlap run that Elijah Just, and he flew out to try and block. And I thought at that point in time, I thought that was a penalty kick, but like I says, I've not seen that one back.
Anyway, Derek, what do you think about the title race now? Did your mind change yesterday at all?
I would still have Celtic slight favourites because they've been over the course before. And I think Rangers are still two players short. I wanted to ask you, Gordon, who do you think will win the title race? Because nobody seems to ask you that question.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind it.
No, I think Mother will win it. I think they can come back. I think once they split, they'll beat everybody after the split. Do you know what? I'm a bit like Roger. I just don't know. I don't know.
Oh, don't
know.
You dare.
And I just like
don't
him for
you
it.
Dare. But I tell you what I do think.
What I'm surprised, I, What I'm surprised is that Derek, as a Rangers fan, thinks Celtic are favourites. You can make a case for them all. It's quite obvious. Hearts are top of the league and have been there for ages. That's your case. Rangers have won 8 in a row, are into second, and have all the momentum. There's your case. Celtic, as Derek says, have been over the course and distance. Yeah. There's your case. But I am surprised to hear a Rangers fan say that Celtic are favourites, given that they're third at the moment and given that they've made fewer signings than the other two.
Well, it's probably going to what Roger's point was a couple of months ago. I think he used the phrase, was it history books tell you so? I think it's the fact that Celtic have won, what is it, 14 of the last 15 league titles, that probably there is an element that you can never count them out.
Sure,
even
but,
though
but at the same time,
I don't think they were.
Every one of those Celtic teams has been much better than this current Celtic team, mm-hmm. and every one of those seasons, the Hearts team has been miles worse yeah. than this Hearts team. So I don't know yeah. about that.
If Celtic don't sign a player from now to Monday, I don't think Celtic win the league. And I think a lot can change, obviously, between now and then in terms of all three clubs. I was just going to touch on, I know you jokingly said Motherwell, but you know I'm not
joking.
A big fan of the
joking.
You know I'm not a big fan of the
Well
spot.
What I will say to you, Motherwell are closer to Celtic than Celtic are to Hearts.
And Motherwell's form over the last 15 games is better than anyone.
Is it better than Rangers?
Just
is it over 15?
Last 15 games, one defeat in the last 15, yeah.
So what,
7 clean sheets in the trot at Firth
Park? That. 9? No?
7 in the league, is it not?
I thought it was 8 and then 9 in all competitions.
Maybe.
Motherwell haven't conceded a home league goal since your old pal Scott Arfield did it in mid-October.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe it's wishful thinking.
But what I was going to is the clubs that you've mentioned there, Motherwell, Hibs and Falkirk, will have a huge bearing when it comes to the split, if this is the top six or where the title's going to end up, because it would take a very brave person to say they won't win games in this split.
There's going to be a lot of tricky games before the split. You know, just look at the next few days. Rangers going to Easter Road. You would think Hibs would be hurting and there would be some sort of performance. Celtic next midweek going to Pittodrie. As I said earlier in the show, there could be a new Aberdeen manager in there. That could be his first home game as Aberdeen manager against Celtic. And even Hearts, 4 points clear as they are, you know, Tannadice on what is sure to be a horrible pitch after the postponement of the weekend. And then Paisley, where they've already lost in the League Cup this season. That's a couple of tricky wins for them.
Okay, thank you very much to Derek and Castlemilk. On your teaser, we are looking for the last player to score a league hat-trick for every team in the Scottish Premiership, apart from Falkirk. It's a nod to them for Barney Stewart. You've got Hamza Egeman for Rangers. You've got Lauren Shanklin for Hearts. Did you get any more?
I have a punt because he scored a lot. Kevin Van Veen.
For Motherwell, yes. Okay. Right, we'll get the rest of the answers when we return. And remember, if you want to hear your question used on the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Just something I want to run past you. It's a bit of a plea. If you're into that whole new year, new you stuff, or you're already a keen runner, I've got a bit of a challenge for you to get involved with. So Clyde One's Cash for Kids are doing 5k a day all throughout February. Why not take on a daily 5k, raise money for Cash for Kids? It will make such a difference to children here in Glasgow and the West that need your help. It doesn't matter if it's a walk, a jog, whatever. You can take it at your own pace, get fit, feel good, and raise money for disadvantaged children. It's a bit of a win-win-win. So you can get involved now at Clyde1.com, and it is Clyde One's Cash for Kids, 5k a day with 101 convenience stores. We're back next.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies, delivered on time for over 40 years.
Another week and still no winner on the Pundit Predictor. We started this at the end of August and we've still not had one single week where we've managed to get three correct predictions. We did get 2 out of 3, which is an improvement on the normal standard. Darren in Rutherglen, he guessed correctly that Motherwell would beat Kilmarnock. He guessed correctly the Rangers would beat Dundee. However, he went for a Celtic win, and in case you hadn't heard, that did not happen. So Claudio Braga's 87th minute goal took £1,800 out of Darren's pocket, and he didn't even need to put any money in. That's the whole point of it. So 21 attempts, no winners. It's back on Friday. We need to give away at some point.
It's incredible. I mean, you wouldn't think it was that. I know Hugh makes it look hard on a Saturday, but you wouldn't think it was that
we need
hard.
To dip right down in the leagues and find some like overwhelming favourites.
yeah,
in games. This is just, it's getting out of hand. Anyway, it's the Pundit Predictor back on Friday with our friends at McNair's Building Supplies. On the teaser tonight, we're asking you, in honour of Barney Stewart, which is one of my favourite Scottish football stories of the season, can you name the last hat-trick scorer for the other Premiership clubs? You've got Hamza Egeman for Rangers, you've got Lawrence Shanklin for Hearts, you've got Kevin Van Veen for Motherwell.
What about Celtic? Maida got a hat-trick last season?
It's not Maida, I don't think.
Well, I had another one of mine because I was playing in it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Was it Moussa Dembele?
No.
More recent one?
Kyogo? More recent. No.
Adamida?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's, I was going to say, like, it's not as obvious as that.
Matt O'Reilly?
But it also kind of is.
Matt O'Reilly?
No.
Nicholas Coon?
Mm.
We'll just shout names now.
I know.
Forrest?
Yeah.
Ah, James St. Johnson.
Hibs at home, 2022.
Hibs again?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Hibs, Martin Boyle.
No,
League Cup
Hibs, Hibs is a really interesting one. Hibs is not a prolific goal scorer.
Oh, because I was going to go back to the 6-6 and shout Anthony Stokes.
No, more recent. Way more recently than that.
Ah,
right. Oh, what an incredible, what an incredible start,
oh,
right?
Hold on. I know who it is.
See, of the 12 Premiership teams,
yeah.
Six of the previous hat-trick scorer was against Hibs. What's wrong with Hibs?
Well, that was four.
Why does everybody score against Hibs? And add Barney Stewart in from the weekend.
Is it Josh Campbell?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember it.
Against Hibs.
No. I was there against Aberdeen. Jim Goodwin's last game.
Was
Jim Goodwin walk across the
five,
park and left.
Three own goals.
5-1.
6-0.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
Osakiko. Livy.
That was the moment we kicked the backside out of trying to call things variations of El Clasico, wasn't it? It should have stopped there.
Kane Hemmings?
No, but I can see your
Simon Murray for Dundee?
No.
For sure, he would have got. Is Livy Lyndon Dykes?
It is Lyndon Dykes.
Oh, well,
against?
Well done. Don't say Tibbs.
Ross County, don't be silly. There's a way to Charlton, Lyndon Dykes, isn't he now?
He is. What about, so we're left with, we're looking for Kelly,
Greg Stewart, Dundee.
No, right, you can get back to it because you've
Google it. Well, Kelly, Aberdeen,
Dundee United.
You're making some decent progress there. You can get back to
is
it.
Is the Aberdeen win an odd win?
It's
not Andy Considine, is it? The
hat-trick,
Elton Johnson.
No, he did score a hat-trick.
Scored a hat-trick and a 7-0 win.
No,
it's
not.
Yep.
It is not. Just while we're whizzing through the teams, Andy, I take it everyone of a Fir Park persuasion was satisfied with the win. Quite telling, straight onto the phones on Saturday, we had three straight away Kilmarnock fans furious. Now, Neil McCann was furious with the ref, but they were just more furious about their team. On the flip side, a comfortable win for your teammates.
Yeah, it was. And I must admit, after the first 15 minutes, I didn't think it was going to be a comfortable afternoon, just given on, I think everybody can see from TV screens that the pitch isn't what it's been over the last maybe 18 months or so. And I thought we were just a little bit loose in terms of how we play. It certainly isn't going to change and shouldn't either, but we were a wee bit loose at the start of the game. Kilmarnock looked threatened a couple of occasions. They obviously hit the bar early. They get the goal disallowed for offside. But I think the goal that got ruled out by VAR almost kicked us into gear a little bit. And I thought from then on in, I thought we played some very, very good stuff. Obviously, in the end, it was a really comfortable scoreline. I'm not even just saying this from a biased point of view. Go and watch the goals. I mean, the four goals are just of the highest quality. All different types of goals as well. No, one was, I think it was 18 passes. One was two passes. Crosses coming in from wider areas. Combination play from outside the box. One, twos. I thought the four goals could have easily won our goal over the weekends.
Robert's on the line. How are you, Robert?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
What are you thinking?
Good evening to you all.
Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Robert?
Not too bad, Nick. Just a wee query. You have both stated you believe that the referee and the VAR got it right with sending Trusty off. If that being the case, what about the Leonard Phil and Negrin that led to Negrin's free kick goal when he pulled him down 5 yards outside the box when he's running through to a ball inside the penalty box? But there was no yellow card or red card or VAR review for that.
Well, there most definitely should have been a yellow card. I would agree with that. It was petulant. It was away from him. But a red card? No, absolutely not. I think you talk about covering defenders. I think Hearts had four covering defenders when that ball got played into the box.
Definitely arguing for a booking.
Yeah, I think it is a booking. But no, it shouldn't be a red card.
And the, kind of back to what I said earlier, Roger, we're now, we get really into these debates where every incident becomes open season. Yeah. I always say everybody's got their opinion, it's fine, and I appreciate Robert phoning in. There's just not a chance in a million years that's a red card for Mark Leonard.
No.
Booking,
no,
to be fair though, there's a...
Yeah.
But then again, VAR can't get involved in booking, so that's never going to be...
And it's whether it's, well, you know, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, I think that early in the game, sometimes referees give you one, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that happened halfway through the second half, and there'd already been two or three bookings in the game, he's probably getting booked for it.
How do you feel about Celtic's title chances after yesterday, Robert?
They've obviously slimmed, but I think they're still there. There's still a chance. The Rangers will be looking to take points off of Hearts. Celtic will be looking to take points off of Rangers. So it's still, they're still in the fight again. It's,
do you need some? Do you need business done?
It's all going to come down to what happens with the transfer
window. I was going to say that. So you think you definitely need business done this week if you're going to win the league?
Unless they've got inside information about other players coming back. No, it's only the players have got out in the injury list.
That's true. Having said that, Roger, I don't think that is. They're not.
Well, these guys are all coming back. Then there's a bit less pressure on it, but
they're not close, Roger, are they?
I don't think so.
Iheanacho might. Iheanacho, I think, is. Well, to be fair, he'll be back in the mix, but the others aren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
This time next week, transfer deadline day.
Yeah. Yellow ties on. Ready to rock.
Spoke all week. Yeah, all month. Sorry about Celtic. What is next then? They've got striker. How did he do yesterday?
I thought he was okay. I mean, he's got an assist. He thought he did well to tee up Yang for the goal that put Celtic 2-1 up. I was actually quite surprised he threw him in from the start in a game like that, because he wouldn't have had a lot of time to train with his new teammates. I think you could put it in the bracket of promising.
I thought he was okay. I thought it was a really difficult game for him to come into, though. I don't think he was exactly giving a whole load of service in terms of balls getting put into the box for him to go and attack. And I think any ball that did go up to him, I thought, was always a real fighting ball, one where they had to wrestle with either Craig Calcutt or Stuart Finlay. But where he was ever so impressive was when he got a turn of foot and got his first real opportunity running behind Hearts' defence, where he eventually gets on the end, he dives into the box and lays it on a plate for Yang. I thought that was the flash that you kind of needed to see from a Celtic point of view. But I don't think there's any doubt that, is it Chaban Chara? Have I got that right?
Oh, that's a good attempt, I'd
say. I still think he's got loads to offer, but that instance there was certainly promising.
Okay, thank you to Robert and Cumbernauld. There's so many talking points we never get round to on a Monday quickly. Aberdeen Livy, no, we need a show in itself, but
yeah,
your brief thoughts.
My brief thoughts, I said a few times in the show that Aberdeen were rotten under Jimmy Tilling, and I said it because Aberdeen were rotten under Jimmy Tilling. You can see a few red shoots of recovery under Peter Leaven. Whoever gets the job, and I would anticipate it would have a manager in probably by the weekend, they've got a little bit to work with, because they look better organised, they look more of an attacking threat. And it's good to see Nisbet among the goals again.
The bottom is fascinating, Andy, because neither can win a game. They're on horrendous runs. So what that means is there's very little in it. 3 points, as we established on Beat the Pundit, between Kilmarnock and Livy.
Yeah, 46 games obviously between the two of them, and only 3 wins to show for it throughout the full season. Both on an incredible run of winless fixtures. Both played each other 2 weeks ago, so probably a big one where one felt as if one of the other felt as if they were going to break that winless run. But I think when you're in that position at the bottom of the table, every fixture looks difficult. So even look at the fixtures, it's very, very difficult to make a case for them to be favourites in one of the games.
You need to work out this teaser. Thank you to Robert for being the final caller tonight. In honour of Barney Stewart, who is the last player to score a hat-trick for each of the other Premiership teams? Rangers, Eggeman, Hearts, Shankland, Hibs, Josh Campbell, Celtic, James Forrest, Motherwell, Kevin Van Veen, Livy, Lyndon Dykes,
Aberdeen Rooney.
Aberdeen is not.
Is it Kevin Nisbet?
No, it's your old pal, actually.
Matt Lee Miller?
No, played with him at Hearts.
Gary Mackay-Stevens?
Yep, GMS.
Wow.
Okay.
Chris Boyd?
Come on. Four. No, again, another former teammate of yours.
Greg Stewart?
Stephen Naismith?
Jordan Jones?
Did play for Rangers, played for Kelly, played for Hearts. Big, tall, Northern Irish striker. Oh my goodness.
Lafferty.
Oh, Ken Lafferty. The Dundee one, former teammate of yours.
Oh my word.
Golden DL's got two rules.
Kenny Miller.
Yes.
Wow.
Kenny Miller. Does that leave you with
Dundee United, Shankland?
Dundee United. No, you all the way back to 2013 for Killies. For Chief Dundee United. It's against Killy. No.
Daly.
Nope. That, yeah, that kind of era though. Obviously.
Craig Conway.
No.
Stuart Armstrong.
Nope. Now plays in America.
Brian Gold.
Johnny Russell.
Johnny Russell. Thank you.
Left.
Oh, quick. He's the hardest of the lot.
John Sutton.
No. Cody Cook.
Against Dundee at Dens to keep them hot.
Thank you to Andy and Roger. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your evening.